My name's Patricia King, and I have with me today one of my spiritual daughters, Fatine Crisco. She's a world changer, a history maker, a nation shaker. She's a reformer, an apostolic woman of God, and the author of Marked. Fatine, welcome to the program today.
Thank
We're
going
to talk about intercession that transforms nations, prayer that changes things. Mm-hmm. I was looking at 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Yep.
And you know firsthand not only the posture of this, but the results of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so exciting over the last number of years. I know up in Canada, we've done a lot of events with the Watchmen, you know, as we've postured ourselves before God and humbled ourselves before God. And you have hosted the cry. And in the States, of course, there's been the calls and different prayer convocations where people have truly humbled themselves in solemn assembly, waited on the Lord, repented for sin, and invited God to open the heavens. And I am so proud of you, girl. You are delicious. You are rising up as this woman of God, carrying His glory in such a beautiful way, and calling forth a generation of young people who are going to walk differently than previous generations. They're going to walk for God. But you've seen shifts in the nation of Canada and in other nations as a result of intercession, and I want you to unpack some of that for us today and give us some of your insights.
Sure. And maybe I can start by sharing a bit of the journey, because it was a few years back that God began to really challenge me about my nation of Canada. I was actually in Africa at the time, and He began to say, you know, Fatine, there are a lot of young people that are full of zeal and passion that are willing just to grab a backpack and go to Africa and China, you know, and that's awesome. And that was the call that was on me at that point. But He began to shift it and say, but who's going to contend for Canada?
Right.
And He began to say things to me like, where's the voice? Where's the voice that will begin to speak for righteousness and justice? And when people ask me kind of what we do, I say, you know, we raise up a voice. And really, that has two applications. One is naturally through speaking to government and shifting legislation through spiritual lobby work, right? But another is through prayer. And so for the last several years, we've been doing both. We've been taking these teams to address the government leaders of our nations. We've had, of Canada, excuse me, we've had over 550 sit-down meetings with parliamentarians, which is more and it's more than any other group, more than any of the high-powered lobbyist groups. And we've been put on a parliamentary committee. We've been having the privilege to speak to legislation. So we've been doing the practical stuff. But simultaneously, we've also been doing this thing called The Cry, which you just mentioned, which is very similar to what Lou Engel's doing with The Call.
Sure.
Actually, it's practically identical. It's just the Canadian version of it, right? And we've done 7 of those now, in various places across Canada, 2 of them right at the parliament. And recently the Lord told me, he asked me a question. He said, will you do a fruit inspection? He said, I want you to inspect the fruit of all your lobby work, all your efforts, and I want you to compare it to what's happened with the cries. Now, I want to say something here before I say what I observed.
Sure.
And that said, I think they're both important,
that
we need to pray. Like Jesus went to the Garden
of
Gethsemane, and then He went to the cross.
Exactly.
You know, and the Lord said to me once, He said, Fatine, if Jesus would have stopped in the Garden of Gethsemane, you'd all be going to hell.
Yeah.
Right? So what I mean
because
by that...
Because your faith without works is
dead. Right.
So in prayer, we release our faith. But then if we really believe what we're praying for, God will actually oftentimes make us the answer to our own prayers.
Totally. So that's my disclaimer to what I'm about to say about prayer, because I do think we need to do both. But if I was to honestly answer that question when the Lord said to me, you know, which one is bearing more fruit, hands down, the cries. We have seen so many just radical answers to prayer on the day of these mass gatherings. So what we'll do is we'll gather anywhere from 1,000 to, I think the biggest one was about 12,000. We'll come together for a full day of prayer and fasting, believing God that His word is true.
Right.
Matthew, I believe it's Matthew 18:19, which says where 2 or more are gathered and agree concerning anything in His name, that He will give it to us, for His glory, and just believing that His word is true. And the most riveting, tangible answer to prayer that we saw was, we've seen more since then, but this was the first of many to come, was in 2008. Where the two lead political parties in our nation, one incredibly socially liberal, another one really more socially conservative and more sort of biblical mm-hmm. in their orientation on issues, right? Not a Christian party, but more
sure.
socially conservative. And they had been neck and neck, like log jammed in the polls for about 3 months. There had been no major movement. On the day of the cry, now I want to also say something. We weren't praying for a specific party.
Right.
We were just saying, God, will you come to our nation? Will you shake everything that can be shaken? Will you
right.
put favor on the righteous? Will you take favor off
right.
of those who won't stand for the things that you're passionate about? And will you just begin to move in on our nation? It was an absolutely phenomenal day. You could feel the intensity and the authority and the atmosphere on Parliament Hill that day in prayer.
Right.
And on that day, this is recorded. Recorded in the national political polls on that very day
that you were praying,
that we were praying, this remnant, it was about 5,000 that day. On that very day, the socially conservative party began to shoot up like dramatically in the polls. Like,
and that party happened to align with a lot of biblical truth and principles, so that was significant.
It was. The other one, which traditionally didn't, began to plummet in the polls. It was so dramatic that it triggered an election. Within 6 or 7 days, the nation was in an election, so this was 2008.
Right.
We went to the polls in October of that same year, so about 5 weeks after that, and we now have, that same government is still in session as we're taping
right.
the show, and we now have more Christians in Canadian government than we have had probably ever, but definitely in recent history, and it was all shifted
right.
on the day of the cry that summer.
And it's not just the Christians, but their openness to inviting Christian input too, because sometimes you can have a Christian politician, but they're not necessarily open to inviting the input from the from those that are pursuing God. So
yeah.
you know, it's nice to have such an open heart to what even you and other groups want to bring to the table.
Absolutely. And it was after that that our organization, the one that we've established in Canada, actually got put on a parliamentary committee
right.
where we're helping to form legislation.
Right.
And but the
isn't that amazing though? Just let's not let that one slip by. You and the young people that you've raised up
yeah.
are helping create legislation for righteousness. You were invited into that. I mean, that is
yeah.
huge,
yeah.
Fatine. It's
yeah.
huge.
Yeah.
It's a favor of God, and that's what he says he'll do. If we'll posture ourselves, he'll shift everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that's so encouraging is exactly what you said. It's like we haven't been trying to politic our way in there,
right.
our posture, our network. We've simply been saying, God, will you come and move in our nation? We're humbling ourselves before you. We know
right.
we have been idolaters. We've been a people of perversion, a
right.
people of unjust bloodshed. And we're asking for your mercy.
Right.
And I believe that God is looking for a landing pad.
Right.
That he's looking for those that will simply sink their hearts with his heart and be willing
right.
to sacrifice in prayer, pay a price, lay down their lives, and then you know, he begins to open doors. And, you know, in a natural sense, it's just democracy in action because we're using the authority that he's given us by being a voice. But spiritually, there's more to it, that when we align ourselves with God in repentance, in prayer, in the prayer of agreement, things begin to shift.
Right.
And when things begin to shift in the spirit, it begins to manifest in the natural.
Exactly.
And that's what we're seeing happen.
Tell us some more about the fruit inspection, because there were some other things that shifted as well, right? On different summaries and reports that went out, even on national newspapers and television programs.
Yeah, it's been riveting across the board. And maybe in the second half of the program, we can talk about what happened in 2009. But we've seen youth alcohol abuse plummet. We've seen youth marijuana use plummet. We've seen youth smoking plummet. We've seen premarital sex plummet.
It's amazing.
And this has all been in the window of the emergence of the prayer movement.
I love
and
it.
And a nation is shifting.
Yeah, and I just love the laws that have changed. And, oh, this is so exciting. You know, you, as you're watching this program right now, you're in a nation. You're a nation. And you, in that nation, before God, matter. Your prayers matter. Your action matters. You can shift your nation for righteousness and for the glory of God. All the earth is his and the fullness of it. He's just looking for a people who will secure his word and his ways within that land. And on behalf of those ones, he will transform the nation. He will. He's promised to. He will heal the land. You are really important. You are important to God. In the second half of this program, we're going to have James Gall. He's a prophet. He's one of my personal advisors and an apostolic covering for our ministry. An amazing man of faith who has been involved in very strategic intercessory prayer movements. And he is going to be here with Fatine. We love James, and I'm so excited to have him co-host this next part of the program. So we'll be right back.
Breaker Team Partner today. Go online to xpmedia.com.
Supernatural marriage and matchmaking. You'll want to be at that event for sure. Whether you're married or whether you want to be married, God's going to supernaturally strengthen, fortify, and bless marriages. He's going to heal those who have had marriage tragedies. We're going to have Chris Valentin, Stephanie Herzog, and Dr. Dan Wilson and myself talking about marriage, covenant relationship, and even singles looking for the right one. We'll see you at the event, Supernatural Marriage and Matchmaking.
Visit the online store and feed your spirit with biblically based resources. Go to xpmedia.com.
You can help Patricia King reach millions with the love of God by donating to the new Studio Building Fund. Partner with us today. Donate online at xpmedia.com or call 866-980-5464.
Hey, this is James Gall. I'm with Encounters Network and a friend of Extreme Prophetic, and not new to you here at this broadcast. And in the second, next part of this segment, we've already been talking with Fatine, Patricia has, and I get to take up the baton now and talk with Fatine about one of our mutual favorite subjects, and it's about how prayer changes nations.
Yep.
And so, Fatine, earlier you were talking with Patricia about measuring fruit between your prayer side of things and your legislation side of things in the nation of Canada. By the way, I just want to say off my part right here in the very beginning that this is exactly, we're going to seeing a model of exactly what needs to be duplicated in every nation, wow, and in factly in every province and in every state, to where there becomes governmental intercession, but it doesn't, good, prayer doesn't end in itself. Prayer is to lead to something which our understanding today, the word we use is transformation. Mm-hmm. Now, the Holy Spirit spoke to you about measuring the fruit of this. That's like kind of scary to me. How does that work, and what was the results? What did you find? What has prayer led to?
Well, as I shared with Patricia, we've seen amazing shifts. And one of the shifts that we talked about was what happened in 2008. Well, we had another incredible shift that happened in the summer of 2009, and mm-hmm, that cry was in Vancouver. It was actually broadcast on God TV, so some of the viewers might have,
yeah,
seen it and even
I
been
saw
there.
It myself.
Yeah,
okay.
And Lou Engel was there with, yeah, us, and so I know many of the people watching, right, this program were a part of that movement through prayer, through the web stream. But it was on that exact day as well that we saw a second shift in the polls, where once again the two lead parties, mm-hmm, as I explained in the,
right,
first segment with Patricia, had been neck and neck in the polls.
Right.
And once again, on the day of the cry, it shifted. And, you know, the fear of the Lord starts to hit you when you see this stuff.
Awesome.
And, you know, I can remember looking at these graphs thinking, okay, if this is what our faith,
yeah,
and our unity and our sacrifice, because really it takes a lot to pull this off. And you know, there are young people that emptied out their bank accounts to buy tickets to get there. And, you know, if this is what our faith and sacrifice and obedience shifts for the nation, well, the fear of the Lord hit me on the other side with this question, and that was, what does our unbelief, what does our lack of faith, what does our lack of unity lose for future generations? Absolutely. And I realized through these graphs, James, the power that God's put in our hands to shift nations through prayer. And then, of course, we walk that out in the natural as well. But it's so riveting. And I began also get excited because, you know, the political stuff is trackable, right?
Yes, it is.
But in a 10 to 12 hour period, you know, we're praying for souls. We're praying for people to be set free from pornographic addictions.
Absolutely.
We're praying for the ending of abortion. And I began to dream. I began to think, you know, if we saw the shifts politically like this, how much more, you know, all the other things that we prayed for.
What else of the seven cultural mountains can we take on? Because they're here, you're dealing prayer specifically targeted towards government. But what about influencing education? What about influencing the family and the divorce rate and the alcoholism issues or the education or the medical, the science community, entertainment, arts, the media? Hello, let's wake up.
And even stuff like crime issues. One of the testimonies, we prayed into the issue of drugs and human trafficking because that's a big issue in Vancouver and with the Olympics and everything coming. And literally, I think it was 2 days after the cry, the biggest crystal meth ring in all of British Columbia, one of the biggest ones globally, was busted like 2 days after the crisis. You got to know that those
it's tied together.
Yeah, something was being tipped off in the spirit, and so stuff like this is just so encouraging. And once again, it's like we can gain encouragement and faith and say, okay, the political stuff is trackable. That drug bust, we saw the headline, but how much more? You know, how many people were saved on that day that we don't even know? How many?
Absolutely.
You know, it's so exciting. Another thing in terms of a fruit test, a couple days after that particular cry, our prime minister was being interviewed by the national media, which in Canada, you know, traditionally is pretty socially liberal, right?
Understand.
And can sometimes spin things. Not all the time. I don't want to give, you know, but sometimes you'll get stuff in there that you kind of raise your eyebrow at, right? Well, he was in the most socially liberal territory of our entire nation, and he was doing an interview with one of the most socially liberal national papers. And they asked him a question. They said, Prime Minister, do you fear what the history books will write about you?
Wow.
And his response was this. Now, this is huge.
Yes.
This is absolutely massive what
That's
I'm about
awesome.
To say. He said this. He said, I don't so much fear what the history books will say about me.
Wow.
He said, I fear more what God will say. And all of us in the
nation
were like, double take, because he has never talked like this to the national media before. Like, we all know he's a Christian and he finishes a lot of his addresses to the nation with God bless Canada. But my point is this. Something shifted in the atmosphere of the nation.
Even perhaps a spirit of intimidation or something. You don't know. But the issue is there was greater liberty to express the faith, greater freedom. And then don't you know that that was used to probably influence and inspire other governmental leaders to, hey, you know, if he can do this, and he's the prime minister or the president, is it prime minister?
Prime minister,
The prime minister, well, then maybe I can take a stand for my province or something of that nature.
Totally.
Yeah.
And as the church, we take a step back from these national moments and we say, wow.
That's right.
What we preach is actually true. This thing actually works.
It does
work. What you teach, James, actually,
it works.
It's not flake. It's
it does
substance.
Work. I love it.
And it really has the power to shift nations. And God began to speak this one sentence to me. I have given the pen of history into the hands of a praying church.
That's absolutely right. S.D. Gordon, one of the great authors and prayer leaders of scores years ago, said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed.
Wow.
That's one of those words that burn.
Powerful,
Yeah. And so, you know, something that burns in me is on this whole issue of shifting nations through prayer. And it comes from several places in the Gospels. But in Luke chapter 10, it talks about, it says, and the Lord appointed 70 others. So it wasn't just limited to the 12. And he sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city. He said to every city.
Wow.
And every place he himself was going to come. So he sent forerunner intercessors ahead of even Jesus did this.
Wow.
Jesus did this. If Jesus had to do this, how much more is it a model for us today? And he sent them by twos. I wonder what they were doing when they went into the cities and every place that Jesus had not yet come, but was preparing and wanting to come. I wonder what they were doing. I have a clue of an idea that they were doing prayer walking.
Wow.
And I think it helped create a cultural, atmospheric change in the area when they went into every city and every place. Right now, I want you just to be in faith, and I want you to prayer walk your neighborhoods. I want you to lay hold of history-making prayer that not only changes nations, but get this, changes a neighborhood, changes a village, changes a little country town perhaps, changes a province, a state, a capital.
Yeah.
So because if we're going to change a nation, now for some of the viewers out there, they're going to go, guys, this just sounds incredible because you're Faye Teen and you're James Gall. But listen, yeah. God leans his ear towards the prayer of the upright, and Proverbs says he delights in the prayer of the upright. And so I really believe on-site locational prayer, and you've talked about this before, but you've led seven different on-site locational prayer gatherings under the umbrella of the Cry for Canada. And I am carrying this burden for Prayer Storm globally. Right now, we're in 74 nations of the earth with the hour that changes the world on a weekly basis because we want Canada, oh Canada, oh Canada. We want oh Canada to be changed. Now, Faye Teen, a few years ago, I gave kind of some little prophetic word.
Massive.
What was that?
Well, you actually gave us a word, and this is, again, such a model about how the voice goes before to prepare the way, but you gave us a word that we had a three-year window, and that if we would seize that window through prayer and through prayerful dialogue with our leaders, which
is totally
what we've been doing, that God would shift us into a decade of mercy instead of judgment and a decade of righteousness. And so we took that to heart. And the Lord had been speaking to us anyway to do these different cries.
So it was confirmation.
But it emboldened us.
Yeah.
And that's what the prophetic word is for. It's to confirm what God's already put in our heart, but also give us courage,
right,
to really go for it and to contend with that. And I really believe that we're standing on that word now, believing that we will have a decade of mercy.
Amen.
And, you know, when the economic crash happened in 08, Canada has weathered the storm.
That's
We've got a prime minister that's standing with Israel saying any enemy of Israel is an enemy of ours. I believe that there's been a shift. We have to maintain it. We have to continue to pray.
That's right.
We have to continue to rise up. But, you know, back to the fruit inspection thing, I want to say this again. It's really exciting. It's exciting
That's
to
awesome.
Sit here and say, rah, rah,
so
look what the Lord has done. We could go on and on, like whether it's headlines in newspapers, polls, whether it's just tangible lives that have been transformed. But I wanted to say this, there's great victory, but where there's great victory and great authority, there's also great responsibility.
There is.
And I think that's the one thing that's really hit me in these times, that we have such a responsibility to rise up and to contend to give the Lamb the reward of his sacrifice,
right?
And he's asking for nations.
That's absolutely right. And again, you know, just going back to this verse, then after verse in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, then it brings us to verse 2, where he's talking about sending, they went out by pairs. Then it says, and he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest, or pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so it can be that in the natural, as a field ripens, if you do not go in the strategic time, the three-year window per se, and you must have the strategic prophetic timing, or the harvest can be lost and rot in the fields because the laborers did not go forth the appointed hour. I'm under the burden of the Lord right now on this. And I just want to speak forth according to Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And we speak forth laborers. Faye Teen and I and Patricia, The three of us agree together
yes.
right now, and we agree to you with
yes,
you in your
God.
Living rooms right now in your
yes,
homes.
God.
And we speak for laborers,
yes, Father,
laborers. We pray to the Lord of the harvest for the nation's sake. We pray for the city's sake. We pray for the provinces and the state's sake. We pray for every country where this voice is being heard. And we pray a prayer burden for the nations, but we pray it practically.
Yes,
and we say, oh, Lord of the harvest,
it,
send
Father.
Forth laborers
yes,
into the fields, holy, abandoned, apostolic and prophetic, men and women, boys and girls, older and younger, widows and married, male and
yes,
female.
God.
And we pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers for Jesus Christ's sake.
Amen.
Supernatural marriage and matchmaking. You'll want to be at that event for sure. Whether you're married or whether you want to be married, God's going to supernaturally strengthen, fortify, and bless marriages. He's going to heal those who have had marriage tragedies. We're going to have Chris Ballatin, Stephanie Herzog, and Dr. Dan Wilson and myself talking about marriage, covenant relationship, and even singles looking for the right one. We'll see you at the event, Supernatural Marriage and Matchmaking.
Breaker Team Partner today. Go online to xpmedia.com.
You can help Patricia King reach millions with the love of God by donating to the new Studio Building Fund. Partner with us today. Donate online at xpmedia.com or call 866-980-5464.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpmedia.com.